This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How the boundary method helps you stay in patient hearing mode without losing your limits. 8 steps to listen fully without letting difficult people cross your line. In short, patient hearing mode is not about absorbing everything without limits. It is about staying fully present with a difficult person while your framework, not your nerves, holds the line. The boundary method gives you 8 steps to listen deeply without surrendering your ground. Structure is what separates genuine attentive hearing from reactive silence or defensive shutdown. Every step can be learned, practiced, and applied before a difficult conversation begins. Definition: patient hearing mode is the deliberate practice of listening fully and calmly to a difficult person without reactive interruption, while maintaining your own limits throughout. It requires active attentiveness, emotional regulation, and a clear internal structure that holds firm even under conversational pressure. You walked into the conversation with good intentions. You were going to stay calm. You were going to listen. Then the other person said something that cut straight through you, and every intention dissolved. You interrupted. You defended. You walked out having said too much and heard almost nothing. That moment, the one where patient hearing mode collapsed before it had a chance to work, is exactly why good intentions are not enough. In Say It Right Every Time, I introduce the boundary method as a structured approach to limit setting with difficult people, drawn from the material I cover in Chapter 9. What I found, across decades of getting this wrong myself, is that you cannot hold your limits without first holding your composure. And you cannot hold your composure without a clear framework to return to when pressure strips everything else away. This article teaches each step of the method in full, so you can stay in patient hearing mode without losing the ground you need to protect. Why composure alone will not keep you in patient hearing mode. Most people believe patient hearing is a personality trait. Either you are a calm person who listens well, or you are not. After 60 years of conversations, I can tell you that belief has cost more people more relationships and more working hours than almost any other communication myth. Patient hearing mode is a practice, not a disposition. It is something you build structure around, not something you simply summon through willpower. When a difficult person raises their voice, repeats the same accusation for the fifth time, or says something that is genuinely unfair, composure alone does not hold. You need a framework to reach for in that moment, something that operates faster than the emotional reaction trying to take over. The challenge with difficult people is that they often bring seared history with them, layers of past conversations and unresolved tensions that charge every new exchange. Understanding how psychological safety affects the way people communicate under pressure helps you understand why the person in front of you may be reacting far beyond what the current moment seems to warrant. Structure gives you somewhere to stand while that intensity plays out. The boundary method. All 8 steps. This is the method I describe in Chapter 9 of Say It Right Every Time. I developed it to address a specific and recurring failure: people who wanted to listen well, but kept either abandoning their limits entirely or retreating into defensive silence. The boundary method holds both capacities at once. Each step below is a self-contained move. You do not need to apply all 8 in every conversation, but you need to know all 8 well enough to reach for the right one at the right moment. Step 1. Breathe and ground before you respond. What it is designed for: preventing the reactive listening that happens when your nervous system takes over before your mind has a chance to engage. How it works. Number 1. When the difficult person begins speaking, place both feet flat on the floor and take one slow breath before you form any response. Number 2. Say nothing for 3 to 5 seconds after they finish. Silence is not weakness here. It is the gap that keeps you in patient hearing mode. Number 3. Label your internal state privately. I'm irritated right now. Naming it gives you distance from it. When to use it. Every time. This is the foundation step. No other step works reliably without it. When not to use it. There's no situation in which grounding yourself first makes things worse. The only risk is that you may feel the pause is too long. It is not. Worked example. Your colleague says, you never follow through on what you promise. Before you defend yourself, you breathe. You wait. You say, tell me more about what you mean. You stay in patient hearing mode rather than launching a counter-argument. Eamon's note. I spent years skipping this step because I thought it made me look slow. It does not. It makes you look like someone who takes the other person seriously enough to actually hear them. Step 2. Own your need without apology. What it is designed for. Enter inpatient hearing from a position of clarity about what you need from the conversation, so you're not passive or resentful. How it works. Number 1. Before the conversation begins, name your limit to yourself in one clear sentence. I need to hear this person out without agreeing to something I cannot commit to. Number 2. Hold that sentence in mind as an anchor throughout the exchange. Number 3. If the conversation pulls you away from your limit, return internally to that sentence before you speak. When to use it. Whenever you are about to engage with a person who has a history of pressuring you to abandon what you need. When not to use it. If the conversation is genuinely open and exploratory, over-preparation with a fixed limit can make you unnecessarily rigid. Reserve this step for situations where past experience tells you pressure is likely. Worked example. Before meeting with a demanding colleague who consistently expands the scope of your shared projects, you tell yourself, I'm willing to hear all of their concerns, and I will not commit to anything outside our agreed brief today. That clarity lets you listen without flinching. Eamon's note. A limit you have not named to yourself is a limit you cannot hold under pressure. Own it first, privately, before the other person arrives. Step 3. Understand their perspective before you respond. What it is designed for. Building the kind of genuine attentive engagement that keeps patient hearing mode intact, rather than the performative nodding that difficult people see through immediately. How it works. Number 1. While the other person speaks, track 2 things: what they're saying and what they seem to need. Number 2. Before you offer your own perspective, reflect back what you heard. What I'm hearing is that you feel overlooked on this project. Is that right? Number 3. Wait for them to confirm or correct. Do not move forward until they feel heard. When to use it. Any time the other person seems more invested in being understood than in finding a solution. Emotional intensity usually signals this. When not to use it. If the person is using the conversation to repeatedly re-wound you with the same grievance and is not open to dialogue, reflecting back can invite an extended cycle. Know when attentive listening has reached its natural limit. Worked example. A family member tells you that your decisions have always been selfish. Rather than defending yourself, you say, it sounds like you have felt left out of decisions that affected you. Is that the heart of it? You are in patient hearing mode, not capitulation mode. Eamon's note. You are not just talking to a person. You are talking to everything that came before this moment. When you acknowledge that, something in the room shifts. The skill of building this kind of presence in difficult exchanges is what I describe as creating empathy bridges in team communication. And it applies just as directly to one-on-one conversations with difficult individuals. Step 4. Navigate the reaction without absorbing it. What it is designed for. Staying in patient hearing mode when the other person escalates, deflects, or becomes hostile in response to your limits. How it works. Number 1. Expect a reaction. When your limit becomes clear to the other person, they will often push back. Prepare for this rather than being caught off guard by it. Number 2. When they escalate, lower your voice slightly rather than matching their volume. It is a physical anchor. Number 3. Repeat your position calmly using the same words. I hear you, and my position remains the same. When to use it. When the difficult person moves from conversation into pressure, repetition, or emotional escalation. When not to use it. If the conversation is calm and productive, navigating reactions is unnecessary. Apply this step only when you feel the pressure rising. Worked example. You have said you cannot take on additional responsibilities. The other person says you are being unhelpful and difficult. You keep your voice even and say, I understand this is frustrating for you, and I am not able to take on more than we have already agreed. You remain in patient hearing mode while your limit holds. Eamon's note. The temptation to explain yourself at length is strongest when someone accuses you of being unreasonable. Resist it. Repetition with calm is more powerful than justification. Understanding what happens in your own nervous system during escalation is essential here. The amygdala hijack is the physiological event that pulls you out of patient hearing mode without warning, and knowing it by name helps you catch it before it takes over. Step 5. Decide your consequence and state it clearly. What it is designed for. Giving your limits actual weight. A limit without a consequence is, as I write and say it right every time, just a suggestion. How it works. Number 1. Identify in advance what you will do if your limit is not respected. End the conversation. Delay a decision. Remove yourself from the situation. Number 2. State the consequence simply and without anger. If this continues, I'm going to end the conversation and we can return to it tomorrow. Number 3. Follow through. Every single time. Consistency is what teaches the other person that your limits are real. When to use it. When the person has already crossed a limit and you need to signal that the dynamic is changing. When not to use it. Do not state a consequence you are not willing to carry out. An empty consequence damages your credibility and makes future limits harder to hold. Worked example. After your colleague dismisses your concerns for the third time in a meeting, you say, "I want to have this conversation, and I am not able to continue it while my input is being dismissed. I will follow up in writing after the meeting." Then you do exactly that. Eamon's note. The consequence is not a punishment. It is a clear signal that you take your own limit seriously. When you do, other people begin to as well. Step 6. Reinforce the limit consistently over time. What it is designed for. Recognizing that setting a limit once is not enough. Boundaries need consistent reinforcement, especially with difficult people who will test them repeatedly. How it works. Number 1. Each time your limit is tested, respond in the same way, with the same calm, the same words, the same consequence if needed. Number 2. Do not reward small violations with silence. Address each one briefly and return to the conversation. Number 3. Track the pattern privately. If a limit is being tested every week, that tells you something important about what needs to change more fundamentally. When to use it. In ongoing relationships with difficult people, whether professional or personal, where a single conversation will not resolve the pattern. When not to use it. In one-off conversations, where the relationship has no continuity. Reinforcement requires an ongoing relationship to operate. Worked example. Every Monday, a colleague reframes a project decision you agreed to close the previous Friday. Each time, you return calmly to the agreed position. "We settled this on Friday. I'm not going to reopen it, and I'm committed to delivering what we agreed." The consistency, not any single conversation, is what eventually shifts the pattern. Eamon's note. Reinforcement is not stubbornness. It is the practice of teaching someone, slowly and clearly, how to work with you. Setting and reinforcing limits in professional relationships is something I explore in depth in How to Set Boundaries with Demanding Colleagues Without Harming Team Synergy, which pairs directly with this step of the method. Step 7. Reevaluate whether the limit still serves you. What it is designed for. Preventing limits from becoming rigid rules that outlast their usefulness, and keeping patient hearing mode honest rather than defensive. How it works. Number 1. Every few weeks, ask yourself whether the limits you're holding are still proportionate to the situation. Number 2. If the relationship or the other person's behavior has shifted, adjust your limit accordingly. Number 3. Communicate any change simply. "I have been thinking about this, and I'm open to revisiting our arrangement." When to use it. When you notice that holding a limit has begun to feel mechanical, or when the relationship around you has genuinely changed. When not to use it. Do not reevaluate a limit in the middle of a conflict or under emotional pressure. Reevaluation requires calm reflection, not reaction. Worked example. After several months of holding a firm limit with a colleague about after-hours contact, you notice that the working relationship has stabilized. You reevaluate and decide that an occasional message is no longer a problem. You update the limit without abandoning the principle behind it. Eamon's note. A limit that serves you in January may not serve you in June. Review it the way you would review any other working arrangement. Step 8. Yield to solutions, not to pressure. What it is designed for. Distinguishing between genuine flexibility, which strengthens connection, and capitulation driven by exhaustion or fear, which destroys it. How it works. Number 1. Ask yourself one honest question before you yield. Am I moving toward a solution, or am I moving away from discomfort? Number 2. If you are moving toward a solution, name it clearly. "I am willing to adjust our arrangement, because it will genuinely work better for both of us." Number 3. If you are moving away from discomfort, hold your position and return to step 1. When to use it. When a genuine solution emerges from the conversation that requires you to adapt your original position. When not to use it. When the pressure to yield comes from emotional exhaustion, the other person's distress, or fear of conflict. These are not reasons to change a limit. They are reasons to strengthen your practice. Worked example. After a long conversation with a difficult team member about workload, you identify a realistic adjustment that genuinely solves the problem for both of you. You yield to that solution. I can shift this deadline if you take the briefing meeting off my plate. That works for me. The adjustment serves the work, not the pressure. Eamon's note. Yielding to a real solution is not weakness. It is the whole point. The framework exists to protect your limits long enough to find the solution that actually fits. This final step connects directly to the work of starting difficult conversations that are blocking your team's forward movement, because patient hearing mode is often the bridge between a blocked conversation and a workable one. Choosing the right step for the moment you are in. Not every conversation requires all 8 steps. Here is a quick guide to help you reach for the right one. Situation primary steps to apply. Conversation is about to begin and you feel anxious. 1, 2. The other person seems emotionally flooded. 3, 4. Your limit has been crossed once. 5. Your limit has been crossed repeatedly. 5, 6. You are unsure if your limit still makes sense. 7. A real solution has appeared. 8. You are being pressured to agree to something. 2, 4, 5. The conversation is going well, but history is weighing on it. 3, 8. The steps are ordered deliberately, but the method is not rigid. Think of it as a sequence you can enter at any point once you know the terrain. What matters most is that you stay in patient hearing mode long enough to find the step you need. When you are unsure which step applies, return to step 1. You can always ground yourself first. Where patient hearing mode breaks down in practice. After years of watching people apply frameworks like this one, certain failure points appear again and again. Here are the ones worth preparing for. The mistake. Rushing past step 1 because the conversation feels urgent. Why it happens? When pressure is high, the body wants action, not stillness. Pausing feels counterproductive. What to do instead? Build the pause into your preparation, not the conversation itself. Breathe before you walk into the room. The mistake. Stating a consequence you do not follow through on. Why it happens? In the moment, following through feels harsh or disproportionate. What to do instead? Only state consequences you are genuinely prepared to carry out. If you are not sure, name a smaller, more certain consequence. The mistake. Reevaluating a limit under pressure and calling it genuine reflection. Why it happens. Exhaustion and the desire to end conflict feel like rational judgment. What to do instead? Schedule reevaluation at a calm moment, not during or immediately after a difficult conversation. The mistake. Using patient hearing mode as a reason to avoid the difficult conversation entirely. Why it happens. Staying in listening mode feels safer than naming a limit or stating a consequence. What to do instead. Recognize that patient hearing is preparation for honest communication, not a substitute for it. Using I statements to own your perspective clearly is the natural next move after patient hearing has done its work. Understanding how honest communication depends on the safety people feel in a conversation also helps you see why patient hearing mode is not just a listening technique. It is the condition that makes honest exchange possible at all. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at eamonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Building fluency over 4 to 6 weeks. Knowing the steps and being able to apply them under pressure are two different things. Here is a realistic plan for building genuine fluency. Weeks 1 and 2. Focus only on steps 1 and 2. Practice the pause and the internal limit statement in every difficult conversation, even minor ones. You are training the reflex, not the skill. Weeks 3 and 4. At steps 3 and 4. Practice reflecting back what you hear before you respond and notice when escalation begins so you can lower your register before it takes hold. Weeks 5 and 6. Bring in steps 5 to 8 in real situations. This is where the method becomes a complete practice rather than a set of individual moves. Review one conversation per week. Ask yourself which steps held and which collapsed. This is how the method moves from knowledge into instinct. The work here connects to what I describe more fully in how psychological safety creates the conditions for sustained team functioning, because the safety you create through patient hearing is cumulative. It builds across conversations, not just within them. Frequently asked questions. What is patient hearing mode? Patient hearing mode is a deliberate state of active, non-reactive listening in which you stay fully attentive to a difficult person without abandoning your own limits. It means absorbing what someone says before you respond, holding your composure even when the content is uncomfortable or provocative. How does the boundary method support patient hearing mode? The boundary method gives you 8 structured steps to hold patient hearing mode with difficult people. Each step guides you from initial calm attention through to consistent reinforcement, so you never lose your limits while you listen deeply and respond with care. Why is it so hard to stay in patient hearing mode with difficult people? Difficult people trigger emotional reactions that pull you out of patient hearing before you realize it. Without a clear structure to return to, most people either shut down and stop listening or abandon their limits entirely, swaying between 2 forms of communication failure. Can you use the boundary method with colleagues, not just family? Yes, the boundary method works in any relationship where you need to listen deeply to a difficult person while protecting your limits. Chapter 9 of Say It Right Every Time focuses on family, but the steps translate directly to demanding colleagues and high-pressure workplace conversations. What is the difference between patient hearing and simply staying silent? Staying silent is passive. Patient hearing mode is active. You're tracking what is being said, managing your internal reactions, and holding your limits steady even as you absorb difficult content. Silence without structure often collapses into either capitulation or defensive counterattack. How long does it take to build fluency in the boundary method? Most people notice a meaningful difference within 4 to 6 weeks of deliberate practice. The first 2 steps, breathe and own, can be applied immediately. The later steps, particularly reinforce and yield, take longer to master because they require you to hold composure under sustained pressure. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.